Now we joined on the line by Hashmatullah Musleh, an Al Jazeera political analyst with special focus in Afghanistan, who speaks to us live from Doha in Qatar. Hashmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hashmatullah, can you begin by giving us a brief summary of the attack on the madrasa yesterday in Kunduz in Afghanistan that saw a Hibs graduation bombed by the US Army?
From what we know at the moment is that yesterday there was a bombing in a masjid in an area called Peshtar Archi in northern Afghanistan, Kunduz province. The government claimed that it was their forces who carried out the bombing. The Americans have stated that they were not involved. In other words, they were not involved in as much as it was not a U.S. pilot that did the bombing. However, we all know that the U.S. coordinates all flights over Afghanistan. The airspace of Afghanistan is under American occupation and American control. And these planes were given to the Afghan army by the U.S. government, and the pilots are trained by the U.S. government. The attack that was carried out on this mosque, the government says, was to eliminate or kill some Taliban leaders, and one of them, they say, was from a Quetta council. Quetta is a city inside Pakistan where some Taliban leadership are there, and that council or that leadership in Afghanistan is known as the Quetta Council. What is interesting is that while the government is talking about peace with Taliban, at the same time it's going after Taliban leadership to eliminate or kill them. In this attack, about 150 people are killed. Most of them are children who were part of a madrasa memorizing the Quran. They were there celebrating the end of their recitations. The area is controlled by the Taliban, and the Taliban are administrating all the facilities there, whatever those facilities may be. Mostly those facilities that we talk about are the masajid, the mosques. Obviously, there was a Taliban presence in that mosque. However, the Taliban have said that their leadership or members of the leadership were not there. The government is saying that they have killed a number of Taliban commanders in the region, especially a commander from a unit known as a Red Unit. This is exactly so far what we know about what has happened there.
Yes, now numbers have been varying. You mentioned 150. Do we know how many were students, and perhaps how many of them were parents of the students, and perhaps teachers, and also were there any guests from the Taliban that may have been present?
It is very difficult at this stage to give the exact number of the people there. Some of the bodies have disappeared, have been completely destroyed, because there were three bombs, from what we know, were dropped on the mosque. And remember, these mosques are built from nothing but mud. There are no concrete or rock in them. Some parts of the mosque might have been some type of a brick and some type of mortar, which in Afghanistan standard might be called as baked brick. But when we people outside of Afghanistan think of baked brick or concrete, they think of something very strong. But in Afghanistan, that is not the case. It's just one notch above mud brick houses. So you can imagine three bombs being dropped on a mosque that has a very thin roof and is made out of very rudimentary material. The destruction would be 100%. All the photos that I have seen on social media show that there are scores of children, mostly under the age of 16. It is hard to deny or confirm that there were some Taliban there. I would say that it's possible that some local commander of the Taliban were present in the mosque. But what is interesting is that this bombing could not have happened without a political clearance from the government of Afghanistan. And that shows the intention of the government of Afghanistan that they were not. Let me use this word, they will not care about people's lives if they have to kill a Taliban commander. This shows the level of animosity in the country. The Taliban do the same thing. The Taliban go after government officials. If they are in mosques or if they are among the people, they will blow their bombs to kill them. For them, it does not matter how many civilians are killed, as long as they hit that one particular target that they have chosen to eliminate or kill. The government does exactly the same thing. Both sides pretend to care about population and civilians, but in actual reality, when you look at on the ground, the number of civilian casualties in Afghanistan has simply been increasing, and the UN has documented that number of civilian casualties. But so far, UN, or, well, we know UN usually sides on the side of governments, and that's what the UN is. The government officials in the United Nations make sure that the UN reports are not so utterly against them. And some of the facts are not always represented in UN documents, like who killed who. But we know that the government firepower and the US firepower by far is larger and bigger than that of the Taliban. And they do attack remote areas and villages, and there are a lot of civilian casualties in Afghanistan, unfortunately.
Now, when we look at what will happen on the various possibilities, there's talk of a UN probe, but will anything actually be done?
Well, like everything else in Afghanistan and what we know today as a third world, nothing will happen. In the same way as nothing will happen when the Israelis killed 18 or 17 Palestinians, it was sniped very calculatedly. They brought people and their soldiers, and a day before they announced that we are going to kill people. The world is stood and watched, and nothing will happen in Afghanistan. And this frustration will translate in Afghanistan in more suicide bombings, because people will be frustrated. A lot of people inside Afghanistan who have lost members of their families, and all they can think of is revenge. And when you look at Afghanistan social media and you listen to what people are saying, very educated people are saying that it is okay to bomb this mosque. Why? Because these children were sitting under a Taliban flag, or that these children were in a ceremony where the Taliban were present. So in other words, they're harboring the terrorists. So the Taliban will come and attack government and cities and saying, you are harboring occupation. And both sides are basically killing each other, and the result is that more people are dying, and nothing will happen. And I'm sorry to say this. I know it sounds very pessimistic. Afghanistan has been in 40 years of war. People have turned war into tribes, basically, the issues of war. Like, you've got this tribe of warring tribe here and a warring tribe there, and they're fighting to win the war. The trophy of the war is the war itself. We have to win that. And that's not going to end in the time soon, in Afghanistan, unfortunately.
Yes, now, when you talk about, the consequences of this war and how it has unfolded, is the war on terror once again showing to be just a war on Islam, as evident in the killing of these young boys and civilians?
So I think that the last part of your question is going to be a war on what?
Is this a war on Islam, the long and the short of it all? What has been announced as a war on terror, is it really a war on Islam?
Actually, globally, I am convinced that yes, this is a war on Islam, because the war on Islam cannot be fought with nuclear weapons. Islam is in France, Islam is in Europe, Islam is all over the world. And the only way we are fighting Islam globally is to contain Islam at its margins. For example, where it is meeting other civilizations or other cultures in Myanmar, it has to be stopped there, and there has to be an ethnic cleansing in Myanmar. There has to be an ethnic cleansing and killing in Sudan, and Sudan has to become a buffer zone between Christian South and the Muslim North. The same division is moving right across Africa, creating a firewall of non-Muslim states. And at the same time, this strategy of fighting Islam is also attacking the principles of Islam, like jihad, like hijab, or the sunnah of Islam. All that has to be questioned. The hudud of Islam has to be questioned. So basically, containing Islam ideologically and geographically and politically, making sure no Islamic state, no Islamic party come to power in any democratic or non-democratic way. This seems to be the strategy, a globalist strategy, by those who see Islam as an arch enemy for themselves, or as an enemy or an obstacle to their vision of the world.
The last time we spoke, the Afghan government wanted to talk to the Taliban on a way forward. What did that materialize, and will this latest attack push Taliban away from the so-called peace talks?
Well, it definitely is going to embolden those factions within the Taliban who or let's say not touch on those groups within or individuals within the Taliban who think that the solution to this war is a military war, and that they also are very ideological about the war, thinking, saying that this is a jihad and it must end with a foreign occupation or Islamization of Afghanistan's legal system. Yes, it is going to impact the peace negotiations. However, the government is not going to peace negotiations in a very legitimate way. The government is trying to use the peace negotiations as a tool for the next elections and also to empower their tribal base. They are playing more on a tribalistic angle in these peace negotiations. They're telling the Taliban that we are the Pashtuns in the government and we are the Pashtuns within the Taliban, or you Taliban are predominantly Pashtun. We are the same tribe, we should unite and rule Afghanistan as a single Pashtun tribe. Now, within the Taliban, there are groups who don't care about being Pashtun, they care about Muslim. And they may be sidebound, and the government is hoping that they can bring a division between the so-called, let's call them, Islamists of the Taliban and the tribalists of the Taliban. Because the government itself is divided between the Islamists, who are increasingly marginalized, and the tribalists, who are increasingly empowered by the Americans and the Western government. Because the one way to stop Islam, the spread of Islam, is to empower tribal traditions and tribal tribalists. Because that's a step closer towards nationalism than Islam is. Islam is talking more about globalization of humanity under the banner of Islam. And that is the slogan that the Western civilization is putting forward as the globalization and unity of the world under humanism, which is put forward by the Western thinkers and philosophers.
Certainly a sad situation, unfortunately. We appreciate the insight that you've shared with us this afternoon on the program. Jazakum Allah khair for your time on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.